Zion 5, fear. Fear. John, you got this page? You took the handout? Yeah. We're really up to Dava, which is good. I mean, we're making progress. I mean, we learned about Fard Blat, I think. Again, there were certain Gemaras maybe we de-emphasized, but on Dava, we have a sugya about Tura, but I think we'll have to go back to Dav Hei Amid Beis, just the last, the last little schnitt. You were in Canada together at the same time?
Yes.
In Toronto?
Yeah.
How many years?
We were you together too.
Oh, so how many years do you overlap in Canada? Like three or four?
I was there for 5 years.
Five, and the rabbi was there all 5 years.
Right.
You know, he came before you and stayed after you.
Close line. You would never be able to lose out on the privilege.
That's right. So obviously, I don't understand.
You know, I still have a Skype group. It's going on now for 9 years in Yudi Parker's house. It's interesting. One or two of the members of the Shia, who used to come only sporadically, retired. So now they come regularly. Bobby Silverstein comes regularly now. You know, in the past, he never was able to commit. But the challenge for me is that every week I have to come up with a new topic. Because it's not structured. We're not learning any particular Sefer or Sefer. I had a special experience when I was in Toronto that instead of giving the shiur on Skype, it was live, face to face. So that was good.
Well, that's better, because they can, there's no evidence, but you can give the same shiur over again.
He doesn't do that.
Oh, this is yours.
Yeah.
Oh, which one's more?
You want to have it, but...
No, sorry. It looks exactly like mine. How you doing, Mitch?
Double cup. Like
okay. My eyes are beginning to feel very secure. Yeah. You'll help me decide at what point I should do what Dr. Leffinger wants me to do. So we're here on Daf Hey Amid Beis, really on the bottom, about to turn to Daf Vav Amid Aleph, and the Gemara on Daf Hey Amid Beis speaks about two cases, two issues, both of which emanate from the same source. You know, at root, they really depend upon the same issue. And the two cases are the following. One is with regard to a carbon mincha. The other is with regard to mamirin, which means to create tmura. In both cases, the father, during his lifetime, had set up the karbon, whether it be a karbon mincha in the case of Menachos, whether it's a karbon behema in the case of Zvachim. He died, and he never got a chance to bring the mincha or the karbon. The first issue revolves around whether the two heirs, in this case there were two banim, whether they would bring the karbon mincha. We have a principle of karbon ashutfim, which is exclusively relevant to Menachos. It's not relevant anywhere beyond Menachos, except for Tmura, as we'll get to. Because in all Zvachim, the Torah recognizes Karban HaShutfim as a valid Karban. But in the case of Menachos, the Torah does not recognize the validity of a Karban Shutfim. And now if we assume that the two sons, insofar as they inherit their father, they become Shutfim on this Mincha, they can't bring the Karban Mincha. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and he says, no, they can bring the Karban Mincha. And why? The Gemara says that's based on the principle that Yerusha lo kanya. In other words, they're not really Shutfim. And they don't become the Balei HaKarbon as a Shutfim, and therefore each one, so to speak, as a Yochid, is bringing this Mincha. L'maisa b'fal, if you look at it with a telescope, you look at it from a distance, you wouldn't see the difference. It looks like they're Shutfim who bring the Mincha, both. We'll call them Chanoch and Levi, the two sons of Reuven. But Alpi Din, there's a fundamental difference here because it's not a carbon ashutfim if you hold Yerushal Okanya, and then basically Chanoch is bringing the carbon for and by himself, and the same is true for Levi. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, insofar as Yerushal Okanya, this carbon mincha is kosher. However, the halach of carbon shutfim is relevant to zvachim with regard to tmura. And a carbon shutfim does not lend itself to tmura. And now in that vein, we should apply the principle of Rabbi Yochanan Yerushal Okanya, and therefore we should allow these two yarshim, when they inherit their father's zevach, to be meimir and say, zu tachas zu, or zu tmura zu. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan says, in this case, there is no tmura. And the Gemara is going to try to work it out here on the top of Daf Vav Amud Aleph, as we'll soon see, to try to come up with a new explanation as to why Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's no possibility for the Yarshim to create a Tmura, despite the fact that they're not really Shutfim. And we know they're not really Shutfim from Rabbi Yochanan's committed, he's committed to that position based on the validity of a Karban Mincha. So that's the Gemara is going to try to work out why Tmura is an exception to the rule, and even though Yerushal Okanya, nevertheless they can't be Meimir. And then the Gemara is going to hop and skip over to Pidyon Maisa Shedi and see what happens in the case of Yarshim that inherit their father's Maisa Shedi. Can they be pulled in the Maisa Shedi? Are they Chayav in Chomesh? And how do we fit that all in? But the beginning of this sugya is the sugya of Menachos. And we could wonder, in the case of Menachos, when we say that a carbon shutfim is excluded in Menachos, are we talking about the actual process by which the carbon is being brought, meaning the mincha and its nedava, or are we talking about the carbon mincha itself and its din in the carbon? So let's explain. In this particular case, the mincha was designated by whom? By the father during his lifetime. So in terms of, getting up, getting up the status of mincha, activating the status of mincha, getting it on its 2 feet, it's not really a carbon ashutfim. And that's why the mincha in and of itself has kedushas mincha. You follow my point?
Right.
Meaning that that Reuven, we'll call him, in his lifetime, he was able to engender a karban mincha because he's a yachid. He's not a shutuf with anybody. So therefore, when the yarshim enter into the picture over here, we wonder why the Gemara analyzes this. Is Yerusha Kanya or Yerusha Lo Kanya? Can the yarshim, if they're 2 yarshim, can they bring the karban mincha or not? L'chor, if the problem of karban mincha is in the havas karban, then here, since the karban was designated by the father and it was a minchas yachid, there should be no issue. And the answer to this is that the problem of Minchas Shutfim is not in the process by which we generate the carbon mincha and we makdish it and its status as a mincha, but rather it's in the carbon per se. And that's what we call gufo shel carbon. If the gufo shel carbon is a carbon ashutfim, we have a serious problem with this mincha. If Rabbi Yochanan nevertheless is makshir the mincha and the two brothers as Yarshim can bring the mincha, he must be predicated on the assumption that Yerusha lo kanya. Because of Yerusha Kanya, this becomes a Minchas HaShutfim, which is possible. So what we see here is that with regard to the issue of Shutfim in Karban Mincha, the focal point is not how to get up the, how to start up the Mincha. It's not a startup issue. It's an issue of how to maintain this Karban and be Makriv on the Mizbeach if it belongs to Shutfim. And that's a serious problem if you hold Yerusha Kanya. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is machshir the Karban Mincha in the case of two shutfim, we must assume that Yerusha lo kanya, and that leads the Gemara into a discussion about Tmura, because if Rabbi Yochanan is going to be consistent, then the shutfim here, in quotation marks, who are not really shutfim, should be able to be member of the Karban. Why? Because it's basically a Karban Ayachid in which each heir, each Yorish is bringing the Karban for himself, by himself, unto himself. And that's the Gemara's problem. The Gemara has to somehow backtrack and say, well, Tmura fits into a different category. We'll get to that in just a minute.
I mean to say is, how can two people bring the same korban as individuals?
That's going to be our sugya for today. in other words, we're going to try to generate a new concept called Schus Kapara. And Schus Kapara has nothing to do with the strict halacha of Bailus. But before we get to that, let me just organize our thoughts as far as Mincha is concerned, and then we move forward to Tmura. So as far as Mincha is concerned, what we're suggesting is that the psul of Shutfim in Mincha is in the carbon itself. Now, if that be the case, then we should logically assume that that's going to be the problem in Tmura Shutfim. Meaning, until I know otherwise, I would assume that whatever definition we're operating with in the exclusion, the miut of Shutfim in Menachos, should apply in the case of Tmura as well. If I'm going to come up with a chiddush, it's going to be that in Tmura, the problem is not in the carbon itself, that a carbon ashutfim is excluded from Tmura, but rather in the process by which you create Tmura. That means that two shutfim will have to agree to create Tmura and bring that and organize that Maisa Tmura, that Hamaras HaBehema, together, they're excluded. That would be, in a sense, a chiddush. Why do I call that a chiddush? Because, as I said to you at the outset, the Torah, the halacha, doesn't recognize the concept of karban ashutfim. Karban ashutfim is basically a karban yachid for all dinim. You know, there are various new halachas that apply to a karban tzibur, but they don't apply to a karban yachid. And I think we've discussed this in the past. Where does Shutfim fit in? Well, basically, Shutfim should be classified as what? Tzibur. As a carbon yachid. It's not a carbon tzibur. None of the halachas of carbon tzibur apply to a carbon ashutfim. The Ramban in his Pirush al Torah spends a lot of time, and he postulates that you can have a million Shutfim on a carbon, it still remains a carbon yachid. And in that sense, for example, there would be a requirement to smicha. Again, there are many, many nafkamiyas that would require smicha on the part of every one of the shutfim, because they are basically yechidim. Each one shares or bears the responsibility and the obligation to bring this carbon in and of himself. Mashenke and tzibur, that's a whole new entity, says the Ramban. And again, there are going to be various nafkaminas, and where does the carbon tzibur come from, and how do you buy it, how do you purchase it, how do you designate it, etc., etc. So that if I backtrack and I ask myself, where in the world of Kodshim does this concept of Karban HaShutfim, where does it emerge? It seems to be so alien and so foreign to the entire constellation of Kodshim. I end up with two answers. And only in these two cases, which are relevant to very, very specific halachas, is there a concept of Karban HaShutfim. Again, Karban HaShutfim is always relevant, but it's not relevant, meaning you could always talk about Shutfin, but when does it become relevant? And those two areas are Menachos and Tmura. So that initially, until I'm proven guilty, my position would be that in both cases, they should operate with the same mechanics. Meaning the Geder HaDavar of Shutfim, to exclude a Karban Mincha of Shutfim, or to exclude the possibility of Tmura in Shutfim, should be the same. Do you follow my point? The mechanics should be the same. And therefore, if I assume that the problem of Menachos, in the case of Shutfim, is a problem not in the creation of the Mincha, but the Gemara applies this to the carbon itself. And that's why the Gemara wants to know, are there Shutfim in the Mincha, or are there not Shutfim in the Mincha? The problem is not how the Mincha became a Mincha, because in this case, they're bringing the Mincha for the Chiyuv of the Father, which is a carbon Yachid, but nevertheless, the carbon per se has Shutfis in it. So Gemara says, well, that depends on Yerusha Kanya, Yerusha Lo Kanya. If I assume Yerusha Kanya, then I have a serious problem with this Mincha, because the Mincha as it's brought on the Mizbeach is being brought as a Karban HaShutfim. And that's excluded by the Torah. The Torah cannot recognize the Karban HaShutfim. So that's a psul and gufa shel karban. The only way of circumventing that, says the Gemara, is by postulating Yerusha Lo Kanya. If, on the other hand, Yerusha Kanya, I have a psul in the carbon. If you'll ask me, what do you mean a psul in the carbon? Why is it possible in the carbon? After all, the father was makdish this mincha as a yachid. The answer is that there's a problem in the carbon. That the halach of shutfim is in the carbon per se. So if the Torah is being mamayit a carbon as shutfim in the case of mincha, then I would assume that the Torah is excluding tmura in the case of a carbon as shutfim. In other words, I go back to Hilchus. You know, how do I classify the carbon? If the carbon is classified as a carbon at Shutfim, then there's no Tmura. But yet I'm going to prove to you that that's not so. that although in both of these cases of Menachos and Tmura, the problem is Karban HaShutfim, but there's a fundamental difference between the two. Whereas we've already established that with regard to Mincha, the problem of Shutfim is in what? In the Karban per se, that's not so. Excuse me. Not so in the case of Tmura. Right? Because in the case of Tmura, the Gemara wants to say the following, that you have two people who inherited a Karban, and the Gemara wants to assume, and that's Rabbi Yochanan's premise here, that the problem is, how do these two Yarshim create Tmura? Again, as far as the Gufa Shel Karban is concerned, this Karban was inherited by these two Yarshim from the father. So in that sense, the Karban was not a Karban HaShutfim. And nevertheless, the Gemara wants to apply, and Rabbi Yochanan Lamaisa does apply, the Psul of Shutfim. When I say psul, I mean the miut of shutfim. It's not really a psul. It's just excluding the process of tmura. So that you cannot engender a kedushas tmura on the behemes chulin if this animal is owned by shutfim. Well, I don't understand. L'chora, if we take the standards of menachos and we apply it here, then what should be the issue? The issue can only be in the gufa shel karban, correct? But in the Gufa Shel Karban, if you hold, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Yerusha Lo Kanya, so what's the problem in the Gufa Shel Karban? In other words, how do we understand Rabbi Yochanan's issue in Tmura? It would seem that the Gemara understands the issue of Tmura in the following way. Not that the two Yarshim are creating Tmura, that doesn't bother us. What bothers us is that if you have ownership over the Karban, and this ownership is an ownership of Shutfim, then that carbon itself could not engender Tmura. Again, even if you were to circumvent the problem in the Maisa Hamara, you would still have the problem in the Gufa Shel Karban. And that's exactly what we saw in the case of a Karban Mincha. So the Gemara asks the following question. Well, if you've obviated, you circumvented the problem of Shutfim in the case of Mincha, simply because Yerusha Lo Kanya, and therefore this mincha is not being brought by Shutfim, then why not circumvent the problem of Tmura by saying that this carbon is not a carbon of Shutfim? Why? Because Yerusha Lo Kanya. So it's not true that these two Yarshim are Shutfim in the carbon. So if that be the case, why can't they effectuate Tmura? And the Gemara sees this as a stira to Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because if Rabbi Yochanan holds that what? That Yerusha Lo Kanya, then why does he have a problem with Tmura? So I have a simple answer. You know why Rabbi Yochanan has a problem with Tmura? Because who's making the Tmura here? The two Yarshim are making the Tmura, right? You follow my point. It's not like the case of Menachos, where the father designated the Mincha. Here in the case of Tmura, who's designating the Tmura? It's the Yarshim. The father didn't do anything during his lifetime to designate Tmura. He didn't try to effectuate Tmura. It was only the Yarshim. So perhaps we can argue that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan would undermine the process of Tmura in this case of Yarshim is because there's Allah in the Maisa Hamara that the Hamara cannot be done by two Shutfim. So the Gemara says, well, they're not Shutfim according to Rabbi Yochanan. We've already established that they are not Shutfim in the case of Mincha because Yerusha Lo Kanya. If we apply that now to the case of Tmura, it's not that the Shutfim are effectuating the Tmura because there are no Shutfim because Yerusha Lo Kanya. And if that be the case, the Gemara has no clue as to why Rabbi Yochanan would undermine the mechanics here of Tmura in the case of Yarshim because they're not Shutfim. If they're not Shutfim, what's the issue over here? And the Gemara is going to say, based on a pasuk, based on a drasha, that there's another problem with Tmura. And the problem with Tmura is that somehow, even if they're not Shutfim, but if they have to come together as a joint effort to effectuate Tmura, the Torah doesn't recognize that Tmura. And that has to be derived from a special pasuk. So again, you know, now the Gemara is introducing a whole new element into the equation, and we shouldn't understand Shutfim in the same way that we understood Shutfim with regard to Menachos. And that's on two levels. Number one, in Menachos, we had a problem of Shutfim, even if we were to circumvent the issue of creating the Karban, i.e. the father created the korban, he engendered the kedushas mincha, but there's still a problem of shutfim. In the case of Tmura, we're talking about the Maisa Hamara. In other words, as far as the status of the carbon itself, if you look at this carbon and he wants to be Mamer the carbon, that carbon is not a carbon Ashutfim. Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that what? Yerusha Lokanya. So in terms of the carbon per se, Rabbi Yochanan would not in any way postulate that there's a mute, there's a hafka of Tmura over here. But the answer is that if two people are coming to bring the carbon together, that's a problem if they want to be maimed. I shouldn't have said to bring the carbon, because again, we're not talking about bringing a carbon here. We're talking about doing a Maisa Tmura to effectuate a Kedushas Tmura onto the Behemoth Chulin. That they can't do a Shutfim. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yochanan, you know, disallows this, he disqualifies it. Why? If Shutfim lo kanya. So the Gemara now has to come up with a new halacha. That as far as Tmura is concerned, we have a halacha which we didn't find in Menachos. That even if I hold Yerusha lo kanya, when these two Yarshim want to effectuate a Tmura, and they want to do a Maisa Hamara, they're excluded from doing so. Why? Because of some Gzeres HaKosav. So let's read the Gemara inside and we'll see what the Gzeres HaKosav is. The Gemara says, here on Daf Heyam in Beis, the Gemara says, Iniach Mincha L'Shnei Bonim according to Rabbi Yochanan Kreva, the two Bonim could bring it, V'Embo Shutfis. And the Gemara says, Yisal Kedai T'Kanyulahu is Nefesh Amrachmana. The Torah says that you can't bring a Karban Mincha as a Karban Shutfim, if it's a Karban Shutfim. Ah, so the Gemara says lo kanyelu. Therefore, you conclude based on Rabbi Yochanan's original position in Menachos that the Yorshim are not kone. Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, hiniach behema l'shnei bonav u'meis kreva v'ema mirin ba. Okay, the fact that the Yorshim could bring this carbon, that's fine because in Zvachim we don't have a psul of what. Of Shutfim. But now you want to know if they can be Meimer, and the answer is, says Rabbi Yochanan, cannot be Meimer. It seems that this is a Karban HaShutfim, and the Shutfim come to be Meimer, and they cannot effectuate the process of Hamara because they're Shutfim. Then Hainu Di'ein Mamirin Be. We understand the exclusion of Tmur over here because of Shutfim, the Havilik is Shutfim. But now we've just established that what? That, I'll be right with you. I just want to, sorry if I can get the cheshmet. That according to Rabbi Yochanan, we saw that Yerusha does not effectuate shutfis because lo kanya, and that's why the mincha is a mincha kshera. So I don't get it. Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, iniach mincha l'shnei bonav ameis kreva v'yembo shutfis, which means that there's no halach of kanya. Isak edaita kanyelahu. Then nefesh am rachmona is lo kanyulu. Oh, so if lo kanyulu, I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself here. Vel amar Rabbi Yochanan is a person dies and he left a behema in front of two children, two yarshim v'meis, and he dies. Is ein memirin ba, again, even though the carbon is kosher as a carbon ashutfim, but nevertheless, with regard to carbon ashutfim, there's no possibility of creating tmuri yeman bishleim and kanyulu. Is hainu de memirin ba, da aviluk is shutfim. On that, now I got it. Sorry, dafavam and al. That's the drawback when you use this Gemara. And he says that v'shutfim lo matzu mamirin, I can understand if you hold that what? That Yerusha Kanya Shutfim cannot effectuate a Tmura. Ela'i amrit lo kanyalu, but now that we've proven, based on Rabbi Yochanan's position in the Menachos, that Yerusha lo kanya is a Murei Nami Lemru, why are you excluding their status to effectuate Tmura if at the end of the day they're not called Shutfim because Yerusha lo kanya? Go ahead, you feel
so I was just going to ask. I think someone asked the other day, but here it's on this one. Why is it the Havilo Kishutfim and not Shutfim? If you say Kanya, Nishon of Kanya, so they're Shutfim, it's not Kishutfim.
Oh, the Chaf Adimion? Just 1 second.
On the side it says that Tzarech Lamar, it changes, it's Tzarech Lamar de Shutfim.
Instead of Chaf,
it's
Dalit.
It says Dishutfim. Now he quotes the Shutfim Kabbalists, but I can't find the Shutfim Kabbalists.
Right. So 1 second, let me just think about this for a minute. I don't want to get caught up in this too much, but let me just think if I have a quick answer for you. If you have the gears of Kishutfim, that's the gears that we have. Is Kanye Lahu? Is why did Gemara say Kanye Lahu?
shuv.
And why does it say kishutvim with the chafadimian? So the answer is that if you're, what do you say?
Yeah,
all right, so that makes it even worse in a sense.
Zion at the bottom. Those shutvin, those
I know I have an answer to your question, but I'm not sure what it is. So let me go on, and then I'll probably figure out what I have in the back of my mind. All right. Okay. So this is where we're up to now. Now, Rabosai, in terms of a zevach of shutvim, we had a Rambam. I don't know if you remember this Rambam, but we never got a chance to finish up this Rambam. The Rambam says the following. This is Hilchos Maisa Korbanos Perek Yudalid Halacha Beis. Shnayim misnadvim onodrim karban echad ola v'echad shlom. So the Rambam has a karban edava, which is a process of shutfin. And the Rambam says, "Avol mincha." I'm skipping the middle part of the Rambam. That's the part of the Rambam that I want to focus on. But the Rambam says, "Avol mincha ein abo b'shutfus." Now, in the middle between the Reisha and the Seifa, he wants to be mechadish the Rambam a chidush with regard to shnei torim or shnei bnei yonah. So let's read the part that I skipped. In other words, the Rambam wants to say that there's an edava, not only in the case of Ol and Shlomim, but in the case of these two ofos. Now again, in a case of two ofos, because the Rambam is about to be mechadish, what happens if he's only bringing one of the two ofos? Then we're talking about what's called a kan, or a ken. We'll call it a kan. Okay, so you have a pair. That pair has to be made up of one of two ofos, mini ofos, right? It's either Torim or Bnei Yon. Okay, fine. So he took upon himself a nedava to bring two ofos. Now what happens? The Rambam says that when he takes upon himself this nedava, he can do so bishutvim. That's what we saw before in the case of Ola, in the case of Shlomim. So we now have a little bit of a variance, but the only difference is that instead of being one carbon with shutvim, there are two carbonists with shutvim. And now, only one of these two ofos is being brought on the mizbeach. And who's bringing this of? Shutvim. Says the Rambam, afilu preda achas shel torim o bnei yonah mevim osa b'shutfis. The Rambam is chaser biur over here. The words of the Rambam don't tell us anything here. The word afilu indicates that the Rambam is coming to mechadish something as far as the scope and the possibility of shutfim bringing a carbon edava. But on the other hand, the Rambam is talking about ofos, and he's talking about preda achas, meaning they're bringing one of the two predos. They should have brought both predos, but they're bringing one. So the Mefarshei Rambam are trying to understand what the chiddush of the Rambam is. What's the afilu here in the Rambam? That he's bringing preda achas. So I want to read to you a line here. This is not our main topic for today, but it's a pella of a line, very ambiguous here in the Nefesh Tova, and this you'll find at the end of a very long siman, which is called Samach Zayin. And just let me see if I can find it for a second. Oh, I'm sorry. Simon Samaches. So he says the following. I'll show you where we're going to begin, but first I want to review in my mind the Rambam about Afilu Preda Achas. What's the Chiddush of the Rambam regarding Preda Achas? How does it go above and beyond all Karbonos? Now, you could say that the Rambam wants to tell you that there's such a thing as shutvus in a nedava for ophos. You know, sometimes ophos are considered a little bit inferior to zvachim, to behemos. Behemos is called a carbon gadol, ophos is called a carbon katan. But if that's what the Rambam wanted to say, then he should have just said shnayim misnadvim, etc., echad ola, echad shlomo, or echad ophos. But he says afilu preda achas. So he's obviously trying to tell us some chiddush about ophos, but in the preda achas situation. So what's the difference between bringing one preda and bringing two predas? If there's shutvis and a carbon adova in one oaf, then in two oafs, let's say, why shouldn't there be shutvis in one oaf? Okay. Now, there's a ribui in the Gemara that's marve, that you could bring a carbon oaf in shutvim. Not only can you bring a zevach behemon shutvim, you could also bring an oaf. So what difference does it make whether the shutfim brought shtei torim or shnei bnei yona, right? In such a case, they'll bring one tar and then another tar. It's called preidu, preidu b'fnei atzma, kreva b'shutfis. So what happens if he only brings one preidu? So what's the difference over here? You know, the rabbi sees a compelling reason to be mechadish afilu preidu achas. I mean, basically, if the shutvim took upon themselves an adava to bring two predos, which would be shtei torim, for example, then each predos being brought on the mizbeach bifnei atzma as a korban shutvim. So, why does the Rambam have to add afilu preda achas? What's the chiddush in the Rambam that afilu preda achas he can bring the shutvis? When basically every single case, even the case where the shutvim were misnadiv to bring two predos, let's say shtei torim, each preda unto itself, unto herself, I guess you'd call it, preda's loshen nekeva, is being brought as a korban shutvim. So the Rambam just could have told me that shutvis applies not only to ola and shlomim, in the case of behemoth, it also applies to an idvas ha'of. And even if he meant to bring, and if the shutvim were meant to bring two predos as part of a set, so to speak, as what we call the kan, each preda unto itself is being brought on the mizbeach as a korban shutvim. So just tell me one simple chiddush, that there's such a thing as shutvim, even in the case of nidvas of.
Because there's a half a minute to think.
If yeah, yeah.
Two, then each one is bringing one. And it's not a shutfis in itself. Each one, you have two, each one brings one. But even if you have one, there's still shutfis.
But wait a second. If you're going to tell, if I understood you correctly, are you saying that in this case of shutfis, when they're bringing, and they were meant to bring two predos, that each one owns each predo?
Each one.
That's not what you said.
One. Each one owns one. Not call it owning. Each one brings one. Owns one, okay.
Now I'll tell you what the problem is, because if you're going to designate each one for each shutah, respectively, then again we lost the chiddush of the Rambam, because that makes it into a carbon yachid and not a carbon shutvus. So let me just read to you what he wants to suggest here. And he quotes the Brisker Rav, so I don't have access to this Brisker Rav. He says the following. He says that we have a case of a kan chova, like for example in a carbon olav yored, right? So the ani has to bring a kan which is made up of an ola and a chatos. He says, havile kan echot, it's one entity. He says the same thing should apply in a case of a carbon nedav. So just like in chova, you bring the two as one set, as one unit. Hachinami, logically, we should say that in the case of a nedava, again, before we get to shutvis, but just in terms of nedava, so if a person, for example, on his own, as a yachid, takes upon himself an obligation, he commits himself to bring a kan of shtei torim, then what's going to happen is that this karmon is to the nedava obligates this person to bring two predos, but again, just like in the case of a chova, he's accepting upon himself to bring these two predos as kan echad. Oh. There's a pasuk he says in the Gemara in Krisus that tells you that if you bring one preda, then that preda is valid, meaning it's chal, af preda achas. Okay, so that's again going to be in a case of a yachid. So the yachid is chayav in a kan, in this case, or he was misnadev to bring a kan, and he only brought one preda. The Gemara is a special ribui in Masechta Krisus that you can bring one, you can bring one preda, and that preda itself is valid. Aval, he says, afli achara ribui. He says, how do you understand the nature of this ribui? You could say that the preda achas now, if he brings only one preda, is no longer a kan. It becomes a carbon shalim bifnei atzma. In other words, again, before the ribui in the Gemara increases, we thought that it's two or bust. And now the Gemara is saying, no, he could bring one of the two, and that's a carbon. So how do you understand that? You could understand it that what happens is that we now separate, we break the kan into two individual parts, and each preda is a carbon bifnei atzma, is a carbon bifnei atzma. And it's a carbon shalim bifnei atzma. Or he says no. What's going on here is that the shtei torim becomes a karman sholem, and what the Torah is allowing him to do in the case of preda achas is to be yotze at least a partial kiyum of this shtei torim. In other words, he's really not bringing the kan which he was obligated to bring or he was misnadiv to bring, but there's a special gzeres akosu that's marbe preda achas that tells me that the preda achas al af, meaning despite the fact that it's not a karban sholem, he can bring an incomplete karban. So again, what we're focusing now is on the following issue: how do we understand this ribui in Gemara Krisus for preda achas in the case of a kan? Are we saying that now it's no longer a kan, it becomes a karban sholem bifnei atzma, even though he's bringing only one preda? Are we saying no, it still retains its status as a kan, he only has the possibility of bringing one preda, the other preda went flew the coop? But nevertheless, that preda, even though it's an incomplete karmon, it's not a karmon shalem, but the Torah says you can bring it on the mizbech. So he quotes a Rashi in Masechta Zvachim, and he proves from that Rashi, I'm sorry, not Masechta Zvachim, but Masechta Krisus, sorry. And Rashi says that afkan nedova nemar din zeh, the Ein Mevi'im Tar Keneged Ben Yonah. Fascinating. We said that in the case of a Kan, you have to bring both birds of the same min. Right? That's called Tar Keneged Ben Yonah is possible, meaning Ein Mevi'im Tar Keneged Ben Yonah. And that's the nature of this unit, that they both have to be made up, both birds of the same min. So Rashi says that that halach applies even to a Kan Nedava. In the case of a nedava, you might have said, okay, he was makabel on himself, he took a nedava that he's going to bring two birds, but they don't form one unit. No, Rashi is saying that the halachic, the requirements of kan apply even in the case of a nedava. Has the brisker know that's true? Because Rashi says in the case of nedava, he's got to bring both birds if he was misnadiv to bring a kan from the same min. Muchach de ika din kan af bekine nedava. And if that be the case, he says that I'm reading you his language. He writes shayef be dina di ein mevim tar keneged ben yona. If we understand that even in the case of nedava, when he was misnadev to bring a kan, there is a halach of kan here, and it's not that each bird is a carbon bifnei atzma, but that they form a unit. And how do I know this? I know this from Rashi, who says that both birds have to be brought from the same bin. So we see that there's a din of Kan Sholim even in the case of Nedava. So it's not just that when he said Kan, you know, he's using language that really means he's going to bring two Ophos. No, it's not just any two Ophos. It's the two Ophos that form a Kan, that are integrated into one indivisible unit. And how do I measure that unit? By the fact that they're both brought from the same, for the same Min. So the Brisker Rav wants to say the following. The Kavan, now that we've established the Aftamar Binin Mikra, the pasuk is ve'akrivu, ve'krivu, that even if he brings one of the two predos, right? That was the Gemara in Krisus, that afilu, that there's a riba to tell me that even if he brought one of the two predos, then that predo is brought on the mizbeach as a valid karmon. Lo havi gili milsa de lo be'ina dafka kan shel shnayim. Rashi seems to indicate we still need a kan, but he's only bringing one predo. And we're talking about a karban nedava. Nischacha, what the Torah is being mechadish here, is that Torah's hava miyuchedesh al preda achas. Do you hear what's going on over here? It's not really a karban in the classical sense, because the karban requires a unit of two ofos. The Gemara Krisus has a ribui to tell me the krivo, even if he brings one of the two predos. Says the Brisker Rav, that's a brand new Torah's hava, Torah's hakrava. It's a special din that breaks the rules that in the case of Nedava, you can bring one of the two predos without the other. Oh, now we get to Shutfin. Again, until now we've been talking about a Yachishes Nadev. Now, what we said is that the Torah is Mechadesh, a parsha of Shutfin. Not in the case of Menachos, but in the case of other Karbonos. But whenever you have a chiddush that undermines the rules of kachim, you have to now go back to the drawing board. And when the Torah says that you can even bring the carbon b'shutfis, does that chiddush apply vis-a-vis those karbonos which are exceptions to the rule? They're not the rule. So, for example, if I tell you that the Gemara Krisus derives the following exception to the rule, that in an adavas ken I can bring one predah, even though normally a kan requires both predos, but the Torah's mechadesh here that you can bring one of the two, and it's not a korban sholem. How do I know that his nedava generated a chalos kan? Because Rashi says he has to bring both from what? From the same min. You know, you can't bring a tar keneged yonah, ben yonah. So now we have a very strange situation, because normally, if we're governed by the laws of kan tzipor, you need both. Both Torah or both Bnei Yonah. You can't split and have one and not the other. Here in the case of Nedava, the Torah is Mechadish, that when you took upon yourself a Nedava to bring a Kan, and the normal dinim of Kan and all the restrictions and conditions should apply, one exception to the rule. And that is you can bring Preda Achas. And that's derived from a special posse. Oh, now we have a whole new Torah Sakrava, because the carbon itself is not a carbon Shalom. If it would have been a carbon Shalom, you would have brought both from the same min. Elo what? The Torah's Mechadish, bring this as a separate Torah's Hakrova of Preda Achas. So the Ram wants to know if it's a separate Hakrova, Torah's Hakrova, Preda Achas, undermining the rules of what? Of a kan of Nedava.
Maybe
there's no din of Shutfim. If Shutfim accepted upon themselves Bishutfis to bring a Nedava of Oph, in this case of two Ophos, as a kan, do we have the ability to say that Chiddush of Shutfis applies even in the case of Predachas? Well, let's say it the other way around. When the Torah was Mechadish, a new Torah Sakrova Predachas, in the case of a Nedava of a kan, which means that this carbon of prey to achas is not a carbon sholem, and that's the big chiddush. Well, how far did the Torah go? Did the Torah allow that to be and recognize the validity of that carbon she'enu sholem even in the case of shutfim? It's kind of like, again, don't quote me on this, it's like tattoo the race. In baseball, it's three strikes and you're out. But in halacha, it's two strikes and you're out. And here I would say it's two strikes and you're out. Like the whole sugya about, let's say a Kohen Tomei was makriv a korban, and he went and he did a zrika shalom b'mkoma. So the Gemara says the two strikes against you. First of all, Yeah, he was tamei. So you want to say tzitzis maratzal a tuma, but there's a second strike again. So he did a zrika shalovim koma. He did lamal lamata, whatever it was. So the Gemara works with that mechanism that if you have a chiddush here that b'di'evit will accept this karvan, and you have a chiddush here that this is also a fallback kind of position. It's the nedava shutfim. So when I combine the following two strikes, as I call them, number one, it was a carbon of a can, and now you bring pray the achas, which means you're busting up the unit, and the Torah was machadish in the Gemara increases that nevertheless will accept a carbon she'eino shalom. The mizbeach is open to such a carbon. Number two, the mizbeach is open to a carbon ashutfim even in the case of nedava. So if I combine a markiv one on top of the other, I don't know if in this case the Torah went as far as to say that pray the achas is enough. And that's the chiddush of the Rambam. Afilu pray da achas. So we're going to take both chiddushim. Number one, nedavas hashutfim, and number two, a nedavas kan sipu, where he's only bringing pray da achas as an incomplete carbon. We're going to be markiv one on top of the other and piggy bank, and we're going to say that even in such a case, there's a chiddush that we can have both chisronos and still the carbon be kosher.
There's
a lot more here, but that's all I want.
There's the same perish in increases that this is a new carbon.
Right, the Gemara says
it doesn't say it's just acceptable.
The Gemara says salka. I mean, I would think that since he was makabel on himself as an adov to bring a kansipa always requires two a bus, and therefore he's got to bring both ofos, whatever they are, torim or bnei yona. Kamash Malon, the pasuk says v'ikrivo in the singular, that you can derive from that that even if he brings one of the two animal, one of the two ofos, he's yotze.
He's
not yotze the chiyuv. He still has an outstanding chiyuv to bring the second off, but he can bring it even if the other of went, you know, flew the coop and died of old age.
But that doesn't make it a separate type of carbon. No carbon. It's just he owes it. Like in other words,
no, he can't bring the other carbon. The other carbon is gone. It's dead. So he's only going to bring one of the two ofos. That's called prey achas in the Lashon Gemara. The Gemara needs a special gzeiros hakasim to tell you that you're allowed to bring prey achas in this case.
So what's he going to do? What does he owe?
And it only applies to an adoba. It doesn't apply to a choma.
What does he owe now?
He doesn't owe anything. I mean, if in general, let's say you have a carbon and the carbon goes the way of all flesh, right?
But he has to bring another whole carbon. So does he have to bring another?
No. That's the chiddush of Gemara, that he's going to bring one prey though. So the Brisker Rav wanted to be a chiddush that why is he allowed and how is this meaningful to bring a prey to achas? He wants to say that there's a separate new Torah Sakrav on an incomplete karma, because the karma would only be complete if he brought both of us. Comes along the Brisker Rav and he says that's what the Ram wants to be a chiddush here in Shutfin. Why is it in the context of Shutfin the Ram has to tell me prey to achas? We know that there's a prey to achas. And the answer is the Ram wants to combine two psulim, so to speak, two minuses, so to speak. There's a minus in the fact that number one, it's an incomplete carbon; it's only a prey to achas. Number two, you want to know if you could have a nedav of shutfim. Correct, for example, a nedav of shutfim would not operate in the case of mincha. So we're saying it operates in the case of ofos, and the Gemara needs a special pasuk to include nedavas shutfim in the case of ofos. Now the Torah has two chidushim. Number one, you can bring a nedava b'shutfis in the case of ofos. Number two, you can bring prey to achas in the case of a nedava of ofos. If you combine the two, maybe we should say ad kan. You know, you know, it's okay for a yachid to bring a prey to achas if he was misnadev in such a case of a kan. But to say that now shutfim are going to be yotze with a prey to achas, that I don't know, because the whole enterprise of shutfim in the case of ofos is a special chiddush. So how do I know that special chiddush applies even in the case of prey da achas? Alright, let's put this on the side and let's get back to tmura for a little bit. So again, here's my chakir in tmura. How do I understand the din that shutfim eino memirim, which is Rabbi Yochanan's statement over here? Is it based on shutfis? And if it's based on shutfis, then it depends upon the sugya of Yerusha Kanya or Yerusha Lo Kanya. For example, the father designated a karbon and then he died. Now, the Yorshim are not only bringing that karbon, they want to be member of that karbon on a different karbon. And Rabbi Yochanan says they can't do so. Why? Because they're shutfim. And the halacha is that as far as shutfim is concerned, there's no possibility of tmura. Says the Gemara, that would only make sense if you held that what? Yerusha Kanya. But since Rabbi Yochanan holds that Yerusha Lo Kanya, as we saw in the case of Menachos, then he should have allowed these two sons to be Meimir, because it's not a case of a Karban HaShutfen. And the Gemara now makes a new breakthrough here on the top of Daf Vav Amud Aleph. The Omar Kra Shiny Hosom, the Omar Kra Im Hamer Yamir Leravos Es Hayarshim, which means that the Torah is telling me that Leravos Es Hayoresh. Sorry, I made a big mistake over there. Leravos Es Hayoresh, that a Yoresh could be Meimir, the carbon of his father, and that's a big chiddush. What was the Havamina without this pasuk of Hamar Yamir? You would need to have created this carbon and be magdashit as an original, so to speak, yourself. But since in the case of a Yoresh, he's not the original owner of the carbon, I would think that he cannot be Meimir. Kamashmal, the Torah tells me, no, even a Yoresh could be Meimir. The Gemara in a minute is going to derive an equation between a Yoresh being Meimir and a Yoresh being Podem Isosheni. In other words, there are all sorts of questions here about what the status of a Yoresh is. But in any event, the Gemara says that since the Torah says Im Hamor Yamir Veloshon Yachid, then the Torah is being Marbe a Yoresh as far as Tmur is concerned. But Echad Yoresh, Echad Meimir, V'ein Shnayim Meimir. But if you have two, they can't be Meimir. Are they Shutfim, Rav Osai? They're not Shutfim, because the Gemara is maintaining now the Yerushalo Kanya. But there's a separate din, which we derive from Hamer Yamir, that Ein Shnayim Emiri. So the double language is going to tell me that if there are two people who want to achieve this goal, in this context, Tamura, they can't do so. And the Gemara now is going to say Im Gal Yigal in the parasha of Pidgin Maisesheni. Also, it has a double language, which means that two people cannot achieve the goal of Pidgin Maisesheni as far as Chomish is concerned. I'm just saying it in a general sense, even though they're not Shutfim. Why? Because Yerusha Lo Kanya. So now we have to ask the following question: when we say that Ein Shnayim Mimirim, is that a din in the Gufa Shel Karma? Again, the Gemara is applying it even to the case of Yarshim, Ein Shnayim Mimirim. In the case of Yarshim, they don't have a kinyan. They're not really Shutfim. So what's Ein Shnayim Mimirim? L'chor at this point, if we want to maintain the symmetry here to Menachos, that we're not talking about a din in the Gufa Shel Karman, but rather a din in the Maisa Hamara. That for some reason these two people cannot effectuate a Maisa Hamara, even though they're not Shutfim. Because the halacha is echad meimir v'lo shnayim meimir. But if that be the case, the Gemara can gain one thing but lose something else. What you gain here, the revach, is that even Rabbi Yochanan could say ein shnayim meimirim, despite the fact that they're not shutfim, because these two people are now effectuating a tmura together. They can't do so because the Torah says ein shnayim meimirim. But the loss here, the hefsed moment here, is the fact that we no longer in the parasha of the Gufa Shel Karma, in the case of Menachos, because there was no shutfis in the Gufa Shel Karma, the mincha is kshera, according to Rabbi Yochanan. In this case, despite the fact that there's no shutfis in the Gufa Shel Karma, because again, when the Yarshim inherit this karma, they don't really have a kinyan on this karma. So as far as the Gufa Shel Karma is concerned, does it lend itself to Tmur or not? We should have come to the conclusion that it does lend itself to Tmur, just like a karma mincha of Yarshim lends itself to a hechsher karma as a mincha. But no, the Gemara says there's another problem over here, and that is, how do you get the Tmur off the ground? How do you generate Tmura? And the answer is, you need a process of Hamara and Ein Shnayim Mimirim. So the Rosh Hashiva quotes the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker Rav insists, no, this has got to be a din in the Gufa Shel Karma, just like in the case of Menachos. And what's the proof of the Brisker Rav? He says that the Gemara in the next line, Maskifle Rav Yaakov min Arpkod Elamiyata, is Lagabi Maisa Sheni Dirsivim Gaol Yigal, Rabos Hayoresh, is Hachinami, we should say the same logic, Echad Goel, the Ein Shnayim Golem. Now, what's going on? What does this mean, Echad Goel and Ein Shnayim Golem? Who owned the who was Mafrish the Maisa?
The father
was Mafrish the Maisa, correct? Now he dies, and the children inherit their father. And we're saying now that the children are not Shutfim, because we're holding now like Rabbi Yochanan that Yerusha Lo Kanya. And the Gemara assumes in the Havamina, again we'll see Shiny Hossam in a minute, but in the Havamina the Gemara assumes that there's no way that these Yarshim could be Poder the father's Maiser.
Why do we assume that the Yerusha of Maiser Shani is equivalent to Yerusha of the Korban in terms of kind of looking?
Well, let me ask you an even more fundamental question. Even before we get to your question, Yechiel, we have to ask an even more basic question. What is the Gemara Bechlal doing over here? What kind of hekesh are you talking about? We're not talking about an equation here between Tmura and Pigeon. If you talk about such an equation, so I don't get it, because in the case of Tmura, we can argue...
We can argue
is you have a behemah shutfim. Let's say you have a behemah shutfim, correct? Let's say according to the svara that Yerusha Kanya. So then you have a behemah shutfim, and now you want to be meimir a behemah shutfim onto a behemah schul. So the Torah says you can't do so. Why? Because a behemah shutfim doesn't lend itself to tmura, correct? If that be the case, then I begin to understand the Gemara's equation to my Sasheni. Why? Because if you're assuming Yerusha Kanya, the father dies, he leaves my Sasheni as an inheritance to his two sons, and this my Sasheni has to lend itself to Pigeon. And since it's owned by two Shutfim, if you hold Yerusha Kanya, it doesn't lend itself to Pigeon. That would make sense. In other words, the Gemara's equation between Maisa Sheni and Pijar Maisa Sheni and Tmura and the Maisa Hamora would make sense if you talk about the Gufo Shalchefta, we'll call it. I don't want to call it a Karban, because in the case of Maisa Sheni we're not talking about a Karban, but we're talking about the Peros of Maisa Sheni. Now, if you're telling me that the Karban that's owned by Shutfim, if you hold Yerusha Kanya, doesn't lend itself to Tmura, then the Maisa Sheni, the Peros of Maisa Sheni, which are owned by Shutfim, do not lend themselves to Pijar. And again, when I say Pijar, I don't mean Pijon and Chomesh. We'll have to take that up on the separate cover, but let's just call it Pijon. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, I have a problem here. Why do I have a problem? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that Yerusha lo kanya. I don't get it. What does it have to do with Rabbi Yochanan? Forget about Rabbi Yochanan. Even if I hold Yerusha Kanya, but you want to know whether there's a Maisa Pigeon over here. Certainly there's Yerusha on Maisa Sheni. Why not? That's before the Raya, right? Why shouldn't there be Yerusha on Maisa Sheni? No, there's Yerusha on Maisa Sheni, now you want to do a Maisa Pigeon. So Gemara says, Ga'ol Yigael is going to exclude two people, who in this case are Shutfim, from doing a Maisa Pigeon. If that be the case, this has nothing to do whatsoever with the sugya of Yerusha Kanya. Meaning, if you're telling me that there's halacha that you cannot effectuate a pigeon in the case of shutfim, then that halacha should apply regardless of whether I say shh. In other words, do you follow what I'm saying? With the Gemara, he has an objection. The Gemara says, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, that Yerusha lo kanya, we should come to the conclusion that these two yarshim should not be able to effectuate a pigeon. Well, why is Rabbi Yochanan guilty of that? Forget about Rabbi Yochanan. Don't attack Rabbi Yochanan. Leave out Rabbi Yochanan. Tell me that Yerusha Kanya. So now I understand why they can't effectuate a pigeon? Well, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. In the case of Tmura, there's Halach in the Gufa Shel Karbon, that if there's Shutfis in the Gufa Shel Karbon, then I understand that what? That is no amora. Excuse me. That there's no amora, correct?
Right.
So the Gemara says, you know what? I'm going to backtrack over here. I'm going to say that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no amora in the case of Shnayim, even though they're not Shutfim. So Yerushal Okanya, there's no amora. What does that have to do with Pidgin? The Gemara thinks now we can attack Rabbi Yochanan, and we can say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you assume that Shnayim ain't a Mamirim, then Shnayim ain't a Podim. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Not only that, it has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. If you want to say that Shnayim ain't a Podim, then even if I don't accept Rabbi Yochanan, either of them, maybe it should be even worse according to those who disagree with Rabbi Yochanan and maintain that Yerusha Kanya. So the Brisker Rav wants to go very far over. If you can open up the Brisker Rav, again, I don't have the Brisker Rav, but I have the quote here. And this will be in the paragraph that starts with the words Ubahad Mashani. So we're in Siman Samach Tes, you'll tell me what page you're on, but not the first paragraph, we're up to the second paragraph, Ein Tes. So you'll take a look, he says, about 10 lines down into that paragraph, do you see a line that says, Hochiach HaGriz? The first word, I can't tell you the first word in the line because you have a different print than I do. Okay, but you have a paragraph, Baha.
10 lines in the paragraph.
Yeah, if you count down approximately 10 lines, approximately. In that paragraph, Ubaha, you'll see Volchiach Agriz.
It's a new paragraph.
Oh, you have it's a new paragraph. Volchiach Agriz. That's exciting. I also wanted to press the return button. Okay, but in my print, it doesn't appear. Yeah. She says, Volchiach Agriz. He's talking about the din that Karban HaShutfim doesn't lend itself to Tamura. He says, Hu Nami Din Bekarban. It's not a din in the Maisa Hamara, the way we want to interpret it. It's a din in the Karban itself. And how do I know this, says the Griz? I'll prove it to you. The Gemara has the following equation. Why shouldn't we accept the same mute of a double language? That double language comes to tell you that in the case of Shutfim, it's excluded. So the Shutfim now should be excluded from Pidgin. So the Gemara answers because Shiny Maisa, the Gabi Avua Nami Isa Veshutvis. In other words, you could have Shutvis on Maisa Shani. You know, you and I.
The Gemara is a Shutvis, it just says Shnayim.
It doesn't say Shutvis, it says Shnayim?
So go all day, Shnayim, Golem, Shiny Maisa Shani, the Avua Nami Isa Veshutvis.
Is Veshutvis. Right. So in other words, you could have Shutvis in Maisa Shani, correct? And there's no problem with, let's say you and I own a field in partnership, we'll be Chayim in Maisa Shani like anyone else is Chayim in Maisa Shani. So the Gemara says, therefore, the Yarshim, even if I grant you that Ein Shnayim Podim, so to speak, like Ein Shnayim Emirim, but that's not going to apply in the case of Pidia of Maisa Sheni, because in Maisa Sheni Shutfis is not an issue at all.
Right.
So the Brisker Rav says, I don't understand what's going on. In the case of Karbanos, in the case of Zvachim, there's also such a thing as a Karban Shutfim. We're not excluding a Karban Shutfim. But rather we're saying that Ein Shnayim Mamirim. So why can't you say, if you want to be consistent about it, that Ein Shnayim Podim? He says, Hainu, the Kev of the Af B'Shutfim Ika Din Meiser is Lahachi Lo Mimatinon She'Ein Shnei Yorshim Podim Meiser Aviyah. So again, let's just take this on a technical level. The thrust of the answer to the Gemara is that in the case of Maaser Sheni, since Shutfis doesn't bother us as far as the Iker Din Maaser Sheni, meaning Shutfim Achayim Maaser Sheni no less than anyone else is Chayim, but Yochid is Chayim Maaser Sheni. Therefore, the Yorshim could be Poder the Maaser of their father when they inherit their father's Maaser Sheni. That's what the Gemara says, just Kipshuto on a simple level. Vehine. If you're going to tell me that what the Gemara had in mind was that Ein Shnayim Mamirim because of and therefore Ein Shnayim Podim, what does it have to do with Shutfis? Mashayach Dover Zelah the Maisa Yeshna B'Shutfis. You know, we're talking about a whole different din entirely. You want to know what the din of pigeon is? Of course, there's payros that belong to two shutfim and they're included in Maaser Sheni. But now we want to know if those two people who are included in the Maaser Sheni, if they could be poda. We saw in the case of Tmura because of the double language that Ein Shnayim Mimirim. Let's apply the same principle of Ein Shnayim Podim. Okay, so you have a din that even if the Meiser is owned by Shutfim, even if the payrolls are owned by Shutfim, they generate a Chiyuv Meiser. Wonderful. But now we want to know who can do the Meiser Pediyah. Let's derive from the case of Tmura that just like two people who are Shutfim cannot be cannot be meimer, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if they're not shutfim, they can't be meimer. Let's apply that to the case of pidyon in Maisa Sheni. So what are you going to answer to me? That there's a chiv on the peros of Maisa, even though the peros are owned by shutfim. Okay, that's a din as far as Maisa is concerned. You want to know whether peros can generate Maisa and a chiv Maisa in the case when they're owned, these peros are owned by shutfim? Fine. That's the Gemara says, Isanami b'shutfis. But what does that have to do with the question that's on hand here? Our issue is the question is whether two shutfim can do a maisa pidyon, and the Gemara thinks that in the Havamina that we can make an equation to tmura, that just like two people cannot effectuate tmura, so two people cannot effectuate a pidyon of maisa sheni. I havi nami miut bechefta. Dine of the carbon sheyesh lo shnei memirim ein lo tmura is lezek amar. The lom matina and dumya the tmura, the ein shnayim podim. The kevan the meiser yeshno b'shutfis. He says the following: if you can understand that the halach of ein shnayim and miriam is a halach in what, in a gufa shel karbon.
Right.
Just 1 second. I want to go the other way around. He says the following. Yeah. Let's say in the positive way, and then we'll say in the negative way. If you're going to maintain that the halacha of tmura is an exclusion because of the gufa shel karbon, so the Gemara makes a chiluk that in the case of Maaser Sheni, as far as the gufa shel karbon, we don't care if it's owned by shutfim. In tmura, the Gemara says that this karbon cannot generate tmura. Why? Because it's owned by shutfim. But the Gemara says that's not applicable to the case of Maaser Sheni, because the Maaser Sheni, insofar as it's owned by shutfim, is lomail v'lomorid. There's absolutely no hair's breadth of a difference between Maaser Sheni that's owned by Yochid or Maaser Sheni but it's owned by shutfim. So the Gemara says that if that be the case, I have a clear-cut distinction between Tmura and Maaser Sheni. In the case of Tmura, you have a carbon that's owned by what? By two shutfim, and that the Torah says that carbon is mufka from Tmura. But in the case of Maaser Sheni, the Torah never said that the Maaser Sheni, if it's owned by shutfim, is mufka from Maaser Sheni. That's the same identical chi of Maaser Sheni. And if that be the case, the Gemara says that you have no question here on Rabbi Yochanan. If, on the other hand, you're talking about a Maisa pigeon and a Maisa Tmura, if the problem of Shutfim is that Shnayim ain't a Mamirim, and we said that applies even if there's no Shutfim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, then we should likewise apply that to Ein Shnayim Podim. So we're going to tell me, but the original Peros could have been owned by Shutfim, Isanami b'Shutfim. What does that tell me about pigeon? Therefore, it says the Brisker Rav, Yesh lo chiyach mikan, that the din of tmura is also din in the carbon itself, which again closes the gap between menachos that we spoke about and tmura. That just like in the case of menachos, is a din that if there's shutfis in the carbon and it's a carbon mincha, then it's pasul. The Torah excludes mincha from shutfis, or shutfis from mincha, I guess you should say. So too, the Torah excludes shutfis in the case of tmura, and that's a din of the gufa shel carbon. No, if that's a din in the gufa shel karbon, so Gemara wants to suggest the following. Well, should we apply the technical drusha of im gol yagel? So Gemara says, nay, because of the fundamental difference between the two. As far as gufa shel karbon is concerned, you can tell me that the gufa shel karbon should be excluded from tmura. But as far as maaser sheni is concerned, you can't tell me that as far as the gufa peros of maaser sheni, they're excluded from shutfim. Shutfim have the same identical status as a yachid. However, says the Brisker Rav, if we can understand that the exclusion of shutfim in the case of tmura is not halacha in the Maisa Tmura, but rather it's halach in the gufa shel karbon, it's a karbon shel. I'm sorry, let me say it the other way around. If you can understand that the halach of Ein Shnayim Mimirim is not halach in what? In the gufa shel karbon, because the karbon has shutfim, but rather it's a din in the Maisa Hamara, then why not accept the equation too? Im Gol Yogel that Ein Shnayim Podim. So what are you going to tell me, that the Maaser Sheni is owned by shutfim and he's still chayav Maaser Sheni? That's irrelevant. We want to know who could effectuate the Maaser Pidyon. Now, if you're going to tell me that in Tmura, who can effectuate a Maaser Tmura? Only a Yachin and not Shnayim. Then I'm going to apply the same yardstick to the case of who can effectuate a Maaser Pidyon. So what's the Gemara answering? That Pidyon, that in the case of Maaser Sheni, can be owned by shutfim? It's totally irrelevant. It can only be relevant if it's a din in the gufo shel meiser, that if the peros have two bialim over it, then you can tell me that there's no pidyon, right? So the Gemara says, well, that's not true, because the Torah never excluded two owners from meiser sheni. And therefore, I have a clear-cut chiluk between Tmura, where the Torah said that if the carbon is owned by two owners, there's no Tmura, and the Torah excluded that carbon for Tmura. That has nothing to do with Maaser Sheni, so the Gemara wins the battle over here. It could wave the flag of victory, the victory flag. Why? Because in the case of Tmura, in the case of Maaser Sheni, the fact that the Maaser Sheni is owned by Shutfim is not a mafkia, and therefore it's irrelevant. But again, the Brisker Rav is assuming, he's insisting, I should say, that if the halach in Tmura was halach in the Maisa Hamorah, then there's no reason why that shouldn't apply to the Maisa Pediyah and Maisa Sheni. Well, what's the Gemara's chiluk about Shutfin?
But there's a chiluk between a Maisa Sheni and Hamorah. Because there's, when you say Gufa Shel Korban, in Maisa Sheni, there's only one Gufa Shel Korban, that's the Maisa itself. But in Hamorah, which are you talking about, Gufa Shel Korban? Gufa Shel Korban, the original Korban.
Right, the original Korban.
Oh, but maybe they're not. Maybe they're talking about in the Hamara, in the Tmura.
So if it's Halacha in the Tmura, in the Maisa Tmura, what does that have to do with Pidyon? Meaning, Fakert, meaning to say that the equation of the Gemara, the analogy of the Gemara, is perfectly in line, and we don't understand the Chiluk, the answer of the Gemara. That's the Kash of the Makshin is excellent. Yeah. But the Teretz of the Taretzon is unexplainable, is inexplicable. Why? Because what are you going to tell me, that in the Maiser itself, Shutfim is not a problem, but that's not our issue. Our issue is in the Maiser Pediyah, not in the Gufa Shel Peros.
You're understanding that Shani Maiser Shani, the Gabi Abuhon refers to the Frusha and not the Pidyon?
No, what I'm saying is that the Torah never excluded in any shape or form Maaser Sheni from Shutfim, or Shutfim from Maaser Sheni. Though the concept of Shutfim,
you mean fresh or pidyon?
Whatever you like. I'm saying the Torah never excluded, there's no seif katan in Hilchos Maaser Sheni called Shutfim. Shutfim is totally irrelevant to Maaser Sheni. That's what the Gemara answers. So the Brisker Rav says, but if you're talking about a Maaser Pidyon, Then why not assume that the double language of him, Gaol Yigal, is telling you that you can't do a mice opinion with two people together? And the Gemara's answer is not an answer. Says the Brisker Rav al Korchenu that the Gemara's equation, the analogy to Tmura, was in the Gufa Shel Korban. So the Gemara says in Gufa Shel Maaser Sheni there is no Halach of Shutfis. You won't find it anywhere. So therefore we don't want to derive any conclusions from Tmura to Maaser Sheni. But if you're talking about the Maisa Hamorah, then what would undermine the equation, the analogy to a Maisa Pidyon between Maisa Hamorah and Maisa Pidyon, simply by fact that the Chi of Maaser Sheni is irrelevant to Shutfim, and Shutfim is irrelevant to the Chi of Maaser Sheni? That's wonderful. But I want to know about the Maaser Pediyah. The Torah says, in Gaol Yigael, to the exclusion of two who are doing a Maaser Pediyah together. And that's exactly parallel, a mirror image, to the Maaser Amora on the part of two people, where the Torah says, in Mamer Yamer. So what are you going to tell me? There are differences as far as the Chi of Maaser in Shutfis, that Isa b'Shutfis, even if the father himself was a Shutfis, he'd still be Chayav of Maaser Sheni. That's wonderful. But it's irrelevant. It doesn't answer the Gemara's question. Unless you assume, and that's the original paragraph, you have it in a different paragraph, that Pochiach HaGriz, that the din of Tmura, that Ein Shutfim Emirim, like the din of Menachos, that there's no mincha b'shutfis, is a din in the Gufa Shel Korban. And that din has no parallel in the case of Maaser Sheni. So from the very fact that the Gemara, it's interesting that Brisker Rav puts no emphasis on the Makshin, if you notice. He mentions the Kash in passing, but then he skips over to the Taretzon, and the Taretzon says, Shani Maaser Sheni, that it's Isa b'Shutfis, that Allah applies to the Gufo Shel Maaser Sheni. So then we're saying the following, that Tmura, we exclude Shutfim because of the Gufo Shel Korban. If the Gufo Shel Korban is a Korban Shutfis, then it excludes the Torah's Mafkiya, a Korban of Shutfis from Amara. if it's a din in the Maisa Amora, and not in the Gufish of Karban, then he says that's a perfect analogy in the case of a Maisa Pidyon. But the answer is, the Gemara makes a fundamental distinction insofar as the din of Tmura is Hafkas Tmura, meaning a Karban of Shut, Hafkas Shutvim, meaning in a Karban Shal Shutvim, the Torah is Mafkia what? Tmura then has no parallel, says the Gemara, in the case of Maisa Sheni Shal Shutvim, because what did the Torah exclude in the case of Maisa Sheni?
Wait, is it the Kaya question?
Yeah.
I think the Bishwa is, to me, because I don't understand it, is complicating things way too much. Without the Pasuk in Mamer Yamir, there is nothing in the Torah that precludes two people from doing Hamar. There is no, there's nothing that stops them, and just like there's nothing that stops anybody from pulling Maisa Sheni, like Shutvim, right? Along comes a Pasuk that's written.
Only according to Rabbi Yochanan, by the way. No, okay, fine. Maybe I'm skipping a step over here. We'll have to see. According to those who argue with Rabbi Yochanan and hold that there is a kinyan, whether things change. But okay, let's go according to Rabbi Yochanan.
The whole Xerxes custom that limits Hamara to one person, not two, is just the pasuk of Mary Amir. Right. Without the pasuk, it could be perfectly fine for them. So the Maisa, Hamara and Maisa Sheni are exactly parallel. They're both mutilagami b'shutas until a pasuk comes along in the
Maisa.
So there's nothing wrong with the thing. The Rabbi Rav is
so what's the answer to the Gemara?
Well, so the real question should be when the Gemara comes along and says, "Ah, oh, I can prove to you because it's okay to do Maisa Sheni with two people because the father did it." The Maisa, that's really the question. What gave the father b'shutas the right to be called the Maisa Sheni when it's a pasuk? Go, you go. That's really the question. Where does he get the right to do it? The Gemara takes it for granted that the Maisa number one, he's allowed to do a pidyon with two people. Why? The pasuk says go yikael.
The Gemara is not saying that the father who's a shutuf could be po the Maisa Sheni. The Gemara is not talking about
that. Exactly what I mean.
The Gemara is talking about the fact that the father, even though he's a shutuf, he owns the peros, right, in the shutfus. He hasn't yet designated Maisa Sheni.
See, that's where I own, because that's Rashi says Beferish that he's talking about Pidyon and not Hafresha. So I don't, that's not my understanding.
Well, again, let's go slowly here. What does Gemara mean when it says Shiny Maisa, the Gabi Avu Nami Isa Veshutfus?
So I learned Rashi. The Lo Ashikhan, the Mimayat Shutfim, me Pidyon Maisa Sheni. Not Hafresha, Maisa Sheni, Pidyon Maisa Sheni. That's what Rashi says that those words mean. So to me, I'm going to talk about Pidyon.
Which Rashi says
Isi
b'shutfus. Rashi Isi b'shutfus. Lo ashkechan t'vimayit shutfim mi pidyon maisa sheni. Oh, I don't understand this Rashi, and you're pointing out a very good point here. What does Rashi mean? Lo ashkechan t'vimayit shutfim mi pidyon maisa sheni. I don't understand. It says in the pasukim ga'ol yigael.
That's the only place. So without that pasuk, then there isn't any other meat.
Okay, but there is that pasuk.
Okay, so same thing by Amora. There isn't any place in the night except for the one pasuk.
So what's the distinction in the Gemara? What does Gemara say? Isa b'shutfus. Well, I don't understand. You're back to square one. Rashi again. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to learn this Rashi be'ir. But
that's why I said
Rashi running around his tail. What's it called? You know?
That's why my biggest problem is the Gemara takes it for granted. There is no place to be my shutfim by pidyon maisa sheni. Look at the father. But it's from here. Well, why is the father allowed
right.
to with the bus? That's why I was stuck out there.
I didn't see the Rashi. I'll try to understand the Rashi. But again, let me just try to explain the sugi without Rashi. Okay, that's what I want to do. So again, Pashtus in the sugi is the following. That as far as the Chiv Meiser is concerned, there's no difference between a Yochin and shutfim. So let's say the father, for example, was a shutaf that he's included in the chiyuv maaser, correct? So as far as the dinim of maaser is concerned, the Gemara is claiming that in gufo shel peros shutfis is not relevant. Now, why is that an answer to the Gemara's kasha? So here's where the Brisker Rav says the following: in order to either validate the Gemara's distinction or invalidate the Gemara's distinction, we have to go back one step backwards. Take a step backwards and go back to Tmura. And he says the following. There are two ways of understanding the problem of Shutfim and Tmura. If it's a din in the Karban, then what it means is that a Karban shall Shutfim. That Karban has its own status. We found, for example, if a mincho is owned by two shutfim, it has its own status. It's possible, right? So here we're saying that there's a different shall we say, quality of carbon, in the case of a carbon that's owned by Shutfim, that we saw the breakthrough was Mincha, and now we're applying that same logic to Tmura. That this carbon has a different quality to it, it's called the carbon HaShutfim, and it doesn't lend itself to Tmura. The other way of learning it is no. The halacha is that Ein Shnayim Mimirim, that's halacha in the Maisa Hamara. We thought, when I say we, I'm talking about myself, we thought that it's for sure halacha in the Maisa Tmura. Why? Because we're going to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan holds that Ein Kinyan Liarshin, right? Yerusha Lo Kanya. If Yerusha Lo Kanya, why should I set up this carbon as a carbon HaShutfim? But there's another din that Ein Shnayim Mimirim. And the Lashon of Shas, I thought, was very meduyak. It doesn't say Ein Shutfim Amirin, it says Ein Shnayim Amirin. Comes along the Brisker Rav, and he busts my bubble. And he says, no, I'm going to prove to you that the halacha of Ein Shnayim Amirin is halacha in the Gufo Shel Karba, not in the Maisa Amara. And that's why the Gemara has the right, and it's justified, to make the chiluk between Pijon and Maisa Sheni and Hamara in a carbon of Shutfim. And the distinction goes as follows, that you could talk about the status of a carbon Shutfim in a case of a carbon. We already found the breakthrough in the case of Mincha. But you can't talk about the status of Maisa Sheni in the case of Shutfim, because the Torah makes no distinction between. So therefore, the Gemara is justified in making this chiluk that it's Isa B'Shutfis. However, if you're going to take the other approach, namely that the problem of Tmura in the case of Shutfim is the Maisa Hamara, then the Gemara is absolutely justified in the Maksha, in its original question, in the analogy, that there should be such halach in the Maisa Pidgin, in Maisa Sheni. That just like you told me, Ein Shnayim and Mirim, they can't effectuate a Maisa Tmura, so two people cannot effectuate a Maisa Pidgin in the case of Maisa Sheni.
Why would they assume that? Because
the double language of the pasuk.
Yes, but the pigeon is being ma'akir, the kedusha from the peiros,
right. Transferring it over to the mos.
But that's not what's happening in Hamara. Hamara is not being ma'akir anywhere.
Right, but it seems to me, Alan. Again, if you have a better shot in the sugya, I'm always willing to hear that the Gemara is operating now on a mechanical level in terms of Hilchos Drashos. The Gemara is not saying that, okay, in the case of Tmura, we have problem X, and the case of Pijon, it's a whole different thing. The Gemara is just asking, when the Torah allows a Maisa to effectuate some sort of chalos, some sort of Totza'ah, does the Torah allow two people to do that in tandem? And the Gemara thinks it all depends, according to Rabbi Yochanan, on the language of the Torah. The Torah is going to address the following question. Maisa X, whatever it is, that has halachic status to effectuate Totso Y, we'll call it, that can that Maisa be implemented by two? And the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the law is that if you have a double language, then that double language is coming to exclude two. Says the Gemara, that just like a Maisa Tmura cannot be effectuated by two, so too a Maisa Pijam cannot be effectuated by two. So the Brisker Rav says, if that be the case, I don't understand the Gemara's answer. You know, if you're operating within the framework of Hilchos Drashos and how to understand the Mikra, then so what does Gemara say about Isa B'Shutfis? All right, Isa B'Shutfis. So what does that have to do with the Maisa Pidgin? So the Brisker Rav now sends us down a whole different track, and he assumes that the halacha in Tmura, that Ein Shnayim Mimirim, is not halacha in a Maisa Hamara, but it's halacha in the Gufa Shel Karba, that not every carbon lends itself to cloning, so to speak. And if this carbon is a carbon of Shutfim, then it doesn't lend itself to cloning. So the Gemara now says, if that be the case, you have no right to derive conclusions from Maisa Sheni. Again, we'd have to know what you do with the pasuk. We haven't gotten even to that part of the sugya. What we do with the drasha of him, Gol Yogael. Why the double language? But in any event, you cannot assume an analogy that according to Rabbi Yochanan, every time it has a double language, it means that two people cannot effectuate that Maisa, because we're not talking about the Maisa Tmura. What we're talking about is what? The Gufa Shel Karba. Ah, the Gufa Shel Karba is qualitatively a different Karba. It's namely, what is it? it's a carbon of shutfim. Carbon of shutfim doesn't have the power of kodesh to generate. It's like, for example, if you do tura on a carbon that's possible, psule amukdosh, a balmum, you cannot effectuate a kedushas carbon in a balmum. So here too, there's like a mum in the carbon, so to speak. I don't mean that literally, but it's owned by shutfim. Says the Gemara, if that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant, then Rabbi Yochanan wants to suggest that the Shnayim here own the carbons in some sense. And that has to be fleshed out. They're both a miskaprim in the carbon. That changes the nature of the carbon. If that's what Rabbi Yochanan would be saying, Ein Shnayim Mimirim, then it has no parallel in the case of Maisa, because who cares if two people are joint owners in the Maisa Sheni? That's totally irrelevant. It doesn't change the quality of the Maisa Sheni. There's no difference between Paris Maisa Sheni that are owned by one person or Paris Maisa Sheni that are owned by two people. So comes along Yechiel and he says that we have a problem with Rashi. Let's see the Rashi one more time. Rashi says, Isa b'shutfis, d'lo ashkechan d'memayit shutfim mi pidjon ma'isur sheni. Rashi adds the word pidjon. What's Rashi saying? That you have what ma'isur sheni that's owned by shutfim. I don't get it, but what do you mean lo ashkechan? The pasuk says im ga'ol yigael.
Yeah, so that's what it means. It's what it means that the pigeon is intrinsically related to the miser, and therefore, since miser itself can be owned by more than one, therefore the pigeon is no different from that.
That's lo ashkechan. I mean, that's a stretch. I mean, lo ashkechan seems to be assuming lo ashkechan that there is no such din.
But
what do you mean there's no such din? Why is there no such din? Rashi says because there's no mute, correct? That you have a mute of shutfim in the case of tmura, but you don't have a mute of shutfim in the case of ma'aser sheni.
Could it be that?
What does he mean by that?
Could it be that when it says echad gol ve'ein shnayim gol, we're not talking about shutfim and shnayim ma'aser sheni, because in the case of shutfim there is no mute.
Shutfim of what? Of Ma'aser Sheni?
Yeah. There's no miut to stop them from being pulled there. Right. But two individuals who don't have shutfus, but somehow can effectuate Ma'aser Pidyon, they can't do it together. Whereas he doesn't call them shutfim when he says Ein Shnayim Shutfim Gol, he just says Ein Shnayim. Ein Shutfus, he doesn't use that word. So I'm just wondering whether he used the word shutfus by the.
If you don't mind, you feel, how are you reading the Rashi? Just like. Give me a flow, a type, so to speak, of Rashi. The lo ashkechan.
How can two people do?
What do you say?
I don't know. I was wondering where.
Lo ashkechan.
Because we said before that the
I lost that one.
So the sons who were two of them were not yoreish the carbon, but yet they had the ability to do something. Maybe what he's trying to introduce that the sons aren't actually yoreish the ma'aser sheni. It's hektish. That maybe they can't be yoreish that, but they can effectuate the pidyon. So we thought to say that when the Stein there were not Shutfim, they can't effectuate because go you go. But then we have proof that in Shutfis it does, you can be both, so the sons can in effect, maybe that's overrides the go. I don't know, I'm stretching here, but I'm just trying to understand why Shutfis is mentioned in the second part but not in the first part.
Well, you know what? I think that maybe, again, I don't know if this is a stretch in Rashi, that Rashi is actually addressing the drasha problem, the linguistic problem. Let's start with the seif of Rashi, then go back to the reish of Rashi. Look what Rashi points out here. Let's say you were to erase or bracket the reish of Rashi and start with the word tmura. And Rashi seems to be addressing the mikra, if you follow what I mean, the mikra. And he's saying that when it says Hamer Yamir, right?
Yeah.
The Torah is coming to tell me something with that double language. Why? Rashi says, because Tmura Hainatame, how do I know that in the case of Tmura, the Torah is telling me something? Zokta Rashi, we call Kola Parsha Memor Beloshin Yochid. We have to open up the Parsha of Ma'aser Sheni and see what Rashi means. Wait a minute. Just bear with me. So again, Rashi is saying that there are two Parshas in the Torah. One parsha is called the parsha Tmura, and Rashi says that if you read through the parsha of Tmura, kol ha parsha nemer b'loshen yochid.
Right.
In other words, Rashi's saying that there's only one exception to this rule. In other words, let's say there are, for argument's sake, there are 10 psukim that make up a unit of Parshas Tmura. I'm just throwing out the number 10. All of a sudden, in one pasuk out of 10, the Torah uses a double language. The whole Parsha was said B'lashon Yachid, and all of a sudden, Hamer Yamer, as if there were two. So the thrust of the drasha is that since the Torah all of a sudden in a very unusual way choreg me'amikra, all of a sudden the Torah excludes two people, that's what generates the halacha of, in other words, the Torah re-emphasizes that it's got to be one person to the exclusion of two, that generates and justifies the drasha that two people cannot be maimed. Okay? Oh, now let's go back to the ratio of Rashi. Perhaps what Rashi means in the ratio is lo ashkachan, in other words, this contrast between 9 out of 10 psukim that we find in Parshas Tmura, we don't find a parallel in Parshas Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni. Again, if we look at the psukim of Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni, right, ki yirchak v'icha haderech, or whatever, what happens
at
start? Well,
I'm looking at, if I look at the, you know, the side where it tells you where the pasuk is, you go in that pasuk, it's not that at all, it's just, it says, that's the whole parasha, right?
So what is Rashi saying when he says that kol parasha nemer b'lashon yachid? How is that different?
Well, that's what
how is that different in the case of Pidyon?
Pidyon, they both sound like the whole parashas are written beyond.
So let's just argue that that the solution to this Rashi, let's just argue that the solution to this Rashi is that in the case of Pidyon, kol parasha nemer b'lashon rabin. Again, we'll have to work that out.
Right, I hear.
But I'm saying just in terms of reading the Rashi. So Rashi's saying in the Reisha that if we never found in the Parsha that the Torah specifically uses the Lashon Yachid and it allows for Shutfim in the Parsha, again, we're going to read through the Parsha, Rashi is going to insist that at every level of this Parsha you could push in Shutfim. Therefore, Rashi says that when it says Gaol Yigael, it's including even Shutfim. You follow what I mean? Because the whole Parsha is Lashon Shutfim. So if this Pasuk Gaol Yigael is talking about two people, then it's a not a choreg situation. It's not a deviation from the Parsha, but rather it reflects the general mood of the Parsha. But he says, I'm going to add one word to Rashi, Avol, b'tmura, if we read the Parsha Tmura, there we have a justification in Hilchas Drashos to exclude Shnayim. Why? Because call a Parsha never Lashon Yom. Again, that's the way I would approach this Rashi. I'm wondering if there are any achronim on this Rashi. You know, in the back of the Masifta, were you looking that up at all?
I'm trying.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 times I don't find anything in the back. But maybe we'll get lucky in this occasion. Okay, Rabosei, so we'll stop here. And what do we do in the Mar Makomas page? Should we do everything? I'm just curious. Where's the Mar Makomas page? Do we do number...
Do the Rashi.
The Riven. We didn't do the Riven in Os Ayin. Or the Nefesh Tova in the name of Chaim, that's on page Pei Aleph. Okay, so I'll have to owe you that. But I still think there's a lot more to the sugya that we just did. Even beyond that Rashi. Obviously that Rashi has to be worked out, you know, over and over again, but okay then.